Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, grant us patience and grant us to us now. Amen. Probably not a great way to pray and not a great way to start a sermon, but it does reflect our culture today. We live in a day when everything is at our fingertips, most times at an instant. We need an answer to a question, we Google it, and we have that answer in a matter of seconds. Most times, it's even the right answer. We have access to hundreds of thousands of movies and television programs without even leaving the comfort of our couch. You remember the days when we had to go to the local store, a Blockbuster or a Hollywood Video, to rent a VHS tape or a DVD? Or just having to be satisfied with what's on at any given time slot on channels 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, or 11? My grandkids lose their mind if the internet goes down longer than 30 seconds. Prime shipping brings us packages overnight, in some cases the same day even, if you order early enough and if your total is more than $35. We want everything now, including our patience. This reminds me of a little girl I know, but she's not so little anymore. When she was younger, she couldn't wait to open up the presents underneath the tree, not just hers, but everyone's. You could say that patience is not her strong point. She would get up after the family was fast asleep, and she would open up all the packages to see what was inside. She couldn't wait until Christmas Day, you see. Then she would rewrap the Christmas gifts as neat as could be so that no one would notice. Not much has changed 50 years later. She still waits, hating for her presents. So most times I just give in and give it to her early, way early. Sometimes. And I have to admit, I sometimes am a little nostalgic around Christmas. I like the old Santas and I like the old red pickup trucks with the Christmas tree in the bed. Some even say that thinking about the old days and the warmth of this joyous holiday season brings out the best of humanity. But don't you also notice how the stress of these hectic days brings out the worst in human nature? People embarrass themselves and the rest of us by pushing and shoving around in the stores. And when you get behind these people in the checkout line, they take forever, don't they? They're fumbling around in their wallets, dropping their coupons, talking with the cashier about things unrelated to the business at hand. Completely unconcerned about the people behind them, the people that they're holding up in the line waiting to check out. Well, it doesn't take long for the rest of us to lose our Christmas spirit. Probably at this point, we should stop and take a look at ourselves. Which is the bigger problem? The annoying behavior of those people who have no regard for the shoppers waiting in the line behind them? Or our impatience with them and our grumbling about them? And which problem can you, or which problem ought you, do something about? Throughout James' epistle, he urges Christians to live out their life by doing good works and by caring for others. Here in our passage today, he continues that lesson. We are to do good works particularly by having an attitude of forgiveness, of patience, of long-suffering with those whom God has given to us. Patience ought to be our way of life. God has made us great promises. Trust in them. He has promised us the resurrection of the body. Jesus says, "I will raise you up on the last day," from John chapter 6, verse 40. He has promised you heaven, a life seeing God face to face for eternity. That is our great hope. It is a sure thing, and it is certainly coming for us. But it's not here yet. So we must hear and trust in these promises while patiently waiting until the coming of the Lord. And it's not always easy. In our day and age of instant gratification, it's definitely not easy. But Jesus has not left us here on our own to do it on our own. You don't have to dig down somewhere deep inside of ourselves to live and come up on the strength to live this life of peace. In fact, when you try to do it that way, you're more likely to find even more trouble, even more annoyances, even more grievances, even more issues, even more causes to become impatient. Galatians 5 tells us that patience is the fruit of the Spirit, along with love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of us have been baptized. We all have been given the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. He gives us these gifts mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. We have been made part of God's eternal kingdom and have been given grace and forgiveness to spare, enough to spread around to others. James encourages us this way. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord, from verse 10. Events in the lives of the believers of old are recorded for us in Scripture so that we might learn from them. They had much that they could have been stressed out about. They had much that they could have grumbled about. They were rejected. They were chased. They were beaten. Some of them were even killed. But they remained patient, and they were steadfast. Moses, after he had been driven out of Egypt, spent 40 years tending sheep in Sinai before he was called to his life's work, leading the people of Israel. He was patient. Noah spent as much as 120 years building an ark in a place where there was no lakes, suffering ridicule by his neighbors. He was patient. Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for Isaac to be born. Though they weren't as patient as they could have been, when they grew tired of waiting, they tried to force God's plan and do it on their own. But that wasn't God's plan, and he made them wait until the time was right, and Sarah did have a son named Isaac. And Abraham, through Isaac, would be the father of many nations. Hearing stories like that gives us a better perspective on the little things that try our patience, such as waiting in a slow checkout line. Job, as another example, trusted God even when everything in his life fell apart. His riches, his livelihood, even his children were all lost to him. Yet he remained patient, steadfast, unshaken. So listen to what James says in verse 8. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. God has given us these examples for a purpose. In James 5:11, we read, you have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. He's not just saying to us, why can't you be more like Job? He has given us the record of the lives of these people of faith so that we can see him. All along, God is there with his people. In his mercy, he never allows them to suffer more than what they can bear. In his compassion, he provides salvation for them. Salvation they couldn't do on their own. And it's all his plan, laid out, carried out over thousands of years to come into our world, patiently take our place. Christ Jesus was patient for us, patient with our faithless questions, patient with the ridiculous false accusations against him, patiently bearing his cross to the hill where he suffered for hours before he died. Now, today, every Sunday, your lack of patience is forgiven. We have something worth waiting for, however long it takes. The Lord's purpose in all of this, in all that he's been doing, is to get you to know his compassion and his mercy. His purpose is that you would look to him constantly, that you would tear your gaze away from all those little annoyances, all those little grievances that you have, all that tests your patience, that you would look to the cross, where his mercy forgives you and his compassion saves you for eternity in heaven. There's probably no better parable than the parable of the prodigal son to teach us about God's patience. In it, the father waits patiently for his child to return home. He looks down the road to the horizon and waits. In Jesus' parable, the prodigal son finds himself wallowing in the mud of a pigsty, longing to return home to his father and to his good graces. His patient father is ready just for that very thing. Your patient father waits for you, longs for you, and desires nothing more than for you to leave the wallowing of your sinful impatience and come into his welcoming, peaceful, patient embrace. Many of you will be going home this Christmas, enjoying family and friends, or maybe your family will be coming home to you. Your patience will be tested. For others, it's just a chore to get through the holiday season. Not all of us are that little girl unwrapping presents in the dark, too excited to wait. So in the hectic busyness of the season, or in the more pronounced loneliness, let us not forget the real reason to have patience, why we are waiting. We are waiting patiently not just for the babe in the manger, but for Christ to return in glory. For as James says, the coming of the Lord is at hand. So be kind to another, to one another. Be patient. In Jesus' name, amen.